Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I really appreciate you tuning in. And today, we are starting another week of audio. It seems that the audio version of my Thought of the Week, called Winder's Weekly Wisdom, is very well received. More than half of you opt to listen to it rather than read it. So I'm going to continue with it, at least in the short term, for now. Now, today we are talking about Bible thumpers and rejectors. Bible thumpers and rejectors. And as you can tell by the title, this pretty much includes everybody. You see, my audience is very diverse. I have a very strong Christian and faith-based audience. Makes up about 55% of my audience. And then about 45% would probably say they are not faith-based, or that's kind of in question, or they're not really dialed in. They might see themselves as atheists or agnostic or whatever. And obviously, when I have an audience like that, I basically, if I'm going to talk about faith or religion or belief, I'm going to probably overstate things from the minds of those who don't have a faith assumption that they're aware of. And I probably will understate things by those who see themselves as very devout. So each day, each time I produce something, I'm disappointing everybody. Isn't that interesting? I say things that challenge both sides and encourage both sides, and I disappoint both sides every time. Because on one fold, I don't say enough. On the other side, I say way too much. And when it comes to the Bible, boy, that's sticky water, right? You're instantly into the deep weeds. So I want to talk today about Bible rejectors and Bible thumpers, okay? Now, you need to understand that the scriptures that I use in this, I'm not using as a Bible thumping, but I'm using it because there's a certain portion of my audience that if you do not use chapter and verse proof that what you're saying is actually coming from the Bible, they will not value or give any credence to what you're saying. So I include that there not to be kind of, hey, here's my Bible verse, but to actually help both camps towards a more healthier and more integrated consideration. Because you see, those verses have a ton of solidarity for those who believe very differently than modern Christianity or what most religions believe. Okay, so let's start here. Ask a Christian next time you're near one or with one, if they actually believe the Bible. Then ask if they read it every day, or if they've read it cover to cover at least once, if not more than once. What you're going to learn is that some of them are going to be put on the spot immediately. Some will even lie about how much they actually read it, which is quite interesting. Now, for those who are honest and they say, man, I don't read it very often, or I've never read it cover to cover, I really don't know what Zephaniah is all about, they're going to be really struggling to reconcile while something is so important to them that they believe, yet is ignored in their life. But yet that is the state of the affairs in the church. And most pastors know this. They're always driving on people to get into Bible studies and to read their Bibles, things like that. Now, when people say they believe the Bible, sometimes I wonder if they've actually ever really read it. You know, it's easy to say that we believe the Bible if, you know, we're those kinds of people who just kind of go with the flow. You might live in the South or someplace where there's a favorable disposition to the Bible just because of where you live in the country. You know, in some places, the Bible is still culturally credible, but it is not that way for everyone. It's certainly not that way for the critical thinker. Penn Jillette is a known atheist, and he says that reading the Bible is the greatest cause of atheism. Atheists like Penn assume that if a person does believe what the Bible says, then they must be bonkers. They're certainly irrational people. Now, I think this is actually a fair criticism, but it lacks another way of seeing things. You see, this perspective assumes that if you believe the Bible to be true, then you must accept it totally on face value. So how should a modern person who's a good thinker actually relate to the Bible? You see, not everybody believes the Bible to be true on face value. You see, I'd like to propose that it is neither to reject the Bible entirely nor to accept it entirely on face value. That's the best strategy. Some aspects of the Bible are true because they are true on an entirely other level. Now, Solomon, who was credited as being the wisest man who ever lived, said that we should not be overly righteous and end up destroying ourselves. Nor should we be overly wicked and die before our time. He said that the person of wisdom, or the fear of God, comes out of both extremes. You see, in other words, we can't reject it and we can't overdo it. If we do either, we are in error. So the Bible thumpers who overdo it and the Bible rejectors are both the same person. Do you see that? Now, if we look at the story of Pharaoh in Egypt and Moses and the plagues that God reportedly brought to Egypt, we see an early image of God that many modern people just cannot reconcile. It's a picture of a God that deliberately hardens the heart of a king so that God can display his powers to his chosen select people. It's a God who clearly takes sides. It is a God who favors his tribal people. You know, it's a God who is racist. You know, it's not a God that most people want to love. He's racially divided. He loves one and he hates another. Now, is this a case of the scripture telling us something about who God really is? If so, then it's understandable for people like Penn Jillette and others to not believe in such a God. Or is this a case of the scripture telling us something about the theology of those writing the story? Clearly, the theology is one of a low-level consciousness. It's not unlike the militaristic advancement of radical Islam that we see on the news each night. I mean, think about it. How different is the story of Joshua, where God empowers you to militaristically go and kill your enemies and take over their land? How is that any different than what ISIS is doing? See, Reformed traditions, they actually like this kind of text. You know, I was a part of a Reformed tradition for many, many, many years. My PhD is from a Reformed school. So I hold to some of these perspectives, but I hold to them in a very nuanced way that is very different. You see, there's a subtle enjoyment of the triumph over the enemy. It depicts a God who's a man of war, a very powerful and thus worthy of worship, a manly kick-ass kind of God. Now, I suppose this is how the fear of God gets imputed into so many people's lives. You know, it kind of makes you wonder, is Johnny Cash right when he sings the song, God is going to cut you down? Is it any wonder that modern people struggle to believe the Bible? See, you don't have to believe that God is a hostile, mean, cruel, debilitating, punitive God to share a Reformed perspective. You don't have to hold to those same perspectives to have faith. But if you believe that you do, then a logical, normal thing is to reject it altogether. So who can blame the world? Now, modern Christians like to see God as on their side. You know, you see them praying for their teams at the sporting events and that God will help them above those non-believers in the world. But that's because they see the world in dualities of saved and unsaved. And of course, they're the only ones who are saved, right? It's surprising how many have an uncaring disposition about the rest of the world, and they just assume that God is hardening the hearts of those people just like he did Pharaoh's. Now, if that's true, then the others are the enemies of God, not by choice, but enemies that God is making for himself. Again, Reformed thinking lines up here. You know, there's these doctrines of election, reprobation, apostasy, and retributive justice. where God is going to get retribution on people. These are all the bricks in a fundamental theology. These are huge barriers for modern people. Most people just don't want to go backwards into a system like that. Now, the more literal the interpretation of the Bible, the more one's theology mirrors that of the writers. Think about that for a minute. If you interpret the Bible word for word as literal and imperfect, then you're going to more likely be in the mindset of those who wrote it. Now, this makes belief regressive, right? It means that you're actually going backward in time to a time and a place where they believed certain things were true, and you're importing that theology back into your world today. So that makes you dogmatic or a Bible thumper. That is a recipe for a very small church. And it's a recipe for a church with an us against the world mentality. It's a church that will have very little influence in the modern culture, because the modern culture is not about regressing, it's about progressing. See, this ultimately means that the church, that kind of church anyway, will fail in its mission to redeem the world. So maybe it's time to rethink some of those ideas. You see, it's not like Moses was a Christian. He didn't even have the law at the early part of the story. He certainly was relating to God in a way far different than the way modern people do. The same goes for Abraham. Shoot, some might even argue Abraham wasn't even a Jew. Now, modern people are very open to talking about God. They actually like talking about God. They just don't like talking about God with Bible thumpers or churchgoers. This is because they are open to seeing God in other ways, progressive ways, not regressive ways. Perhaps if Moses and Abraham can be good with God, then maybe modern Christians need to begin seeing God in other ways too, not just in the way that modern Christianity has kind of sculpted their theology. And think about it. By the time Jesus arrives, God is not here hating his enemies anymore. Jesus admonishes us to love our enemies. In fact, he says, "You've heard it said, you know, love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy." He's like, he's undoing the theology of the past. He's instituting something new. That's a big change. So did God change? Or did the story about God, the theology, change? Or did the consciousness of the culture rise, which is evidence of its redemption? You see, a theology of retribution was replaced with a theology of restoration. Not because the Bible changed, because if you go back and you read Moses and you read the prophets in the Old Testament, you see the restoration all over the place. It's changed because the people now have eyes to see it. The theology never changed. The people grew into conformity to it, which is evidence of a progressive culture. Ha-ha, progressive culture and faith are actually dovetailing here, right? They're not diverging, as the church would tell us. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, maybe not. But what happens when a modern person says they don't believe the Bible? You know, they have a set of rails in their thinking, which are valid. We've already shown that. And they have strong questions about how racism and violence and suffering and pain exist when a loving God is supposedly in control. That's a valid question. The empirical world of science has disproven the possibility of some Bible stories, and thus they jump on the rails that the whole thing, therefore, must be a fable. Now, for them, a fable means untrue, instead of true on a totally other level. You see the difference here? This is what's interesting about the problem. While it's understandable that unbelievers have no desire to participate in early stage regressive theology of hatred, and that people want to go on to a higher stage consciousness of peace and integration, they are dismissing the higher stage theology of restoration that is also in the scripture, and which actually provides the roadmap for how they can possess their higher stage. Let me say this another way. They reject the Bible usually based upon a rejection of a regressive worldview, right? They see how it was back then, they reject that. If you're trying to bring that worldview in today, I'm going to reject that too. But what's interesting is they reject the Bible because they embrace what the Bible ultimately reveals. They reject the Bible because they embrace what the Bible ultimately reveals, which means they don't actually reject the Bible. Think about that. The work of the gospel, or good news, is, we're told, the liberation of the captive, right? If you're captive, you're let free. It's good news to the poor and the afflicted. This is found in Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 4. The message of the Christ is not punitive here. This is the point. It's not about retribution. It's a declaration of the Lord's favor, or this is God loving his enemy. It's a correction of the bad idea that man had about God. So what does loving the enemy look like for modern people? What does a new grasp of theology actually look like? What is love? You see, I think it looks like humility. It's not a blatant form of certainty. It's not certainty in science. It's not certainty in the Bible. It is neither a certainty that the Bible is 100% true and therefore must be accepted completely on face value, nor is it the certainty that it must be fiction and therefore rejected. It's the ability to look at where we've come and the theologies that we've possessed along the way and the outcomes that those theologies have produced. Face it, some of our beliefs have produced terrible atrocities in our history. But you guys, theology doesn't come from the Bible. And I know that is a shaker. That is a wrench hitting the porcelain sink if you are a Bible literalist, if you are a scholarly approach to things, right? The theology doesn't come from the Bible. The Bible comes from a theology. Theology comes from experience with God. And that comes only through humility. You see, it's humility that allows each of us to possess a God-given measure of goodness and put our minds on another set of rails that will bring us into closer proximity to our fellow man rather than pit us against them. Whenever we do this, we align ourselves with the theology of love. And that is powerful. You see, those who possess such humility and love are viewed as God's people. And God's people are from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, according to Revelation 7:9, and dare I say, every religion. Now, we must never forget that according to Scripture, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And there's a ton of verses in the Bible that say that. But that's just another way of saying that pride is spiritual immaturity. If you're proud of your atheism, you're spiritually immature. If you're prideful of and certain about your Bible thumping ability, it's spiritual immaturity. You see, I go back to where I started at the beginning. The Bible thumper and the rejecter are the same person. They're immature. That's all. And immaturity is really, you know, the beginning step on the road to humility. And humility is what pride looks like when it has finally awakened. Now, this is something upon which both thumpers and rejecters can actually unite. And nothing, therefore, is as powerful as love. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.